You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Jack is back.
I was like, guess who's back?
Jack is back.
Watcha.
Hello again, folks. This is the Highly Suspect Reviews, the animation crew team, and we are going to be talking about Samurai Jack Season 5, the season that just wrapped up that was so many years in the making. And with me, I have to my left...
Hi, I'm Nora. Really hyped to finally talk about it.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Fletcher. I'm equally as hyped. Boy, have I opinions to share.
And running this all, it is I, Joseph Compton, also back again. So, like, let's get into this. Samurai Jack, you know it. You love it.
You know it.
Oh, boy.
Right. You love it.
Okay, well, maybe we should talk about those who don't know it and don't love it just yet. So, long ago in a distant land... Okay. So many years ago, there was the initial Samurai Jack series made by Genndy Tartakovsky. You know, the guy who also made Dexter's Laboratory, among many other things, also directed both of the Hotel Transylvania films, too. Mm-hmm. Samurai Jack, back in the day, it was just this very simple story of samurai goes off to fight evil demon lord Aku, ends up being transported to the future, and then has to fight evil Aku again. With that, the episodes back then were very much tight little episodic one-off series. And, you know, you didn't have a heavy continuity focus on it. It was always just like, here's Samurai Jack now defending this village of robot people from evil robots. And then here's Samurai Jack when he's teaming up with these 1920s-esque cartoonish-looking gangsters. Then you also get episodes like Samurai Jack fighting a ninja in an all black and white styled building.
And then you have one where he's having an adventure with a blue bear.
Oh, yeah. There was the My Neighbor Totoro reference one.
Pretty much.
Yeah. How did you two generally feel about the initial Samurai Jack series?
It inspired me as an artist wanting to be an animator, originally. Mm-hmm. And... overall, I've always loved just really calm and calm episodes. I love Jack as a character. I love the aesthetic in each episode that was happening. Every new episode was a different story, which I loved, and it's what I've always loved as a kid, and I still love today. And just seeing it happening again, just I don't know, makes me feel overjoyed again.
And Fletcher, what were your thoughts on the initial series of Samurai Jack?
Well, I mean, I like pretty much every other kid at the time. You know, I saw Samurai Jack.
That's what they called it in France, Samurai Jack.
But I saw Samurai Jack, and I was instantly hooked. I mean, like, what's not to love? It's a freaking samurai that gets transported into the future, and he's slicing up robots and monsters and stuff. And it's like, it's the typical stuff that every 9-year-old mm-hmm. is just going to become obsessed over. And, you know, Genndy Tartakovsky is one of the legends of Cartoon Network, right alongside mm-hmm. Rob Renzetti yeah. and
Craig McCracken.
Mm-hmm. He's just like, he's known for these really simplistic yet highly, highly effective cartoons. They're not overly complex, and they just tell a very simple story well. And of course, like, I was attracted to the, like you said, Nora, the aesthetic, the art style. But also, my dad kind of pointed out when we were watching together, because I have a cool dad like that, that they do such a great job of establishing tone and mood in every yeah. episode, not with the dialogue, but with the silence. Because it has an amazing score. Like, I wish they had saved some of the soundtrack, but sometimes it's just better to have that silence to give better contrast to when there is action and dialogue, and it makes it all more meaningful. But anyway, Samurai Jack was an absolutely fantastic, phenomenal show. It earned, I think, how many Emmy Awards, and for very good reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, Samurai Jack is just a really great classic, and that's why people wanted it back.
Oh, yeah.
What about you, Joe?
That was very much the same for me. Of course, I was also the weebiest of anime weebs back in the day, too. And this was at least the first attempt for American audiences to, like, get that kind of same aesthetics of an anime back in the day. Mm-hmm. Like, there were a lot of things back then that wouldn't, like, they would kind of emulate from anime, like, such as the fight scenes kind of reusing certain assets over and over again, but using it effectively to make the combat feel like it's visceral to it.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, some series where they just gotta, like, punch and have someone stagger back and then continue onwards. Now we're getting into the new series, because after so many years, after roughly season 4 ended, that was just it. The show didn't really complete itself, it just ended.
Yeah, the last episode was literally when Jack was hanging out with a baby.
And that's where they came back with a new 5th season. This was a much shorter season than the various other ones. This one was only a 10-episode miniseries. And unlike the previous seasons, this one had one continuous story that they were telling from every episode. Whereas in the past, they were just standalone episodes. You can jump in on any of them, and they would always be a different, like, tone and aesthetic to it.
What I really liked about it, though, that it's not a reboot, it's just continuing. Because you see cartoons nowadays are just getting a reboot, unnecessarily getting a reboot, or just, you know, like Ben 10, the Powerpuff Girls, all kind of really unnecessary, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really respect, though, is that they're continuing it for the people that grew up with it, because they know that these were, like, kids, probably around 7 to 9 to 10 years old, and who are now in their early or late 20s, and no kids are going to get it at all. So let's just do it for them, which I really respected.
Indeed, especially since, like, unlike what happened with the recent Powerpuff Girls reboot, it was also much of the same creative team coming back, the people that loved it and actually knew it from a fundamental level, as opposed to those who had a kind of vague idea about it and thought they could reboot it as something new and exciting for today's audiences.
It's going to be really hard to judge this, just not from a complete fanboy perspective, because, of course, I'm a huge fanboy for Samurai Jack. So I'm going to try to be objective and just think about things logically, but oh my god, Samurai Jack is back! Anyway, so, yeah, of course I was ecstatic when they teased that Samurai Jack was coming back, but I thought it was just another one of those, like, pointless throwaway petitions where people are clamoring for new Samurai Jack and it's never going to happen. But lo and behold, the world graces us with Gendy Tartakovsky announcing officially that Samurai Jack's going to be returning, but with the added twist of being featured on Adult Swim and having, as he said, he described the new plot as being much darker, being heavier, more serious. And the goal was to, of course, finish his quest to return to the past and kill Aku. But, he pitched it, he marketed it as a far darker story than we were led to believe, or that we were used to from the original series. I was ecstatic. I was excited. I didn't know what to expect.
So the basic plot of the 5th season, it has been roughly 50 years of Samurai Jack being in this crazy futuristic world where chaos is just basically running amok with Aku just destroying villages for the hell of it, or sending out, like, robots to torment and oppress the individuals. And Jack hasn't been able to complete his quest at all. And the opening even shows that with him, like, talking about how time doesn't even affect him anymore. Like, it's over 50 years and he's still stuck in the same spot as he was. It does, like, get into a much more darker tone than I was expecting of him. More or less kind of, like, almost having PTSD to a degree, like, how he's being tormented by, like, the ghosts of his ancestors as they are infuriated that he still hasn't been able to accomplish anything with this.
I was just ready for just a bloodbath. I didn't expect anything else, honestly. Talking about suicide or just sadness and depression and just so many deep thoughts, it just made it more, like, like, the fact that they even brought up how Jack only fought robots, he has, like, no grasp in humanity, like, at all, until, like, one day he accidentally killed somebody, and he was like, oh.
Partially accidentally. Sort of.
Sort of accidentally.
overall, I'd say the series started out really strong. Like, from the very first shots, you can understand that this is a different kind of Samurai Jack. This is not the kind of kids show that you're used to. And they established this by just, like, blasting through a horde of robots, not as, like, the typical samurai warrior, but as a straight-up Mad Max, duked-out, like, fully loaded Armageddon-type warrior. He's got, like, this machine gun, grenade launchers, and all sorts of crazy shit. And it's like, oh, my God. Yeah.
The extreme 90s version of Samurai Jack.
Pretty much.
and, like, you know, all of us, like, straight from the get-go, we start seeing blood. We start seeing bodies, and... Honestly, that was a big psychological factor about the whole series, is because, like, we're so used to it being a cartoon. When they actually show blood, when they actually show people getting killed off, we're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's far more visceral than if we were to see it in a rated R film, because the visual context of the animation puts us in a different mindset. So when people die, it's way more jarring.
Now, Now, granted, though, it wasn't gratuitous violence.
No.
Like, it's not... isn't, like, HBO Spawn animated series that reveled in its violence. This is, like, when we first actively do see blood, it is a simple, like, slice off someone's neck, and
that was, like,
one spurt of blood for the first time that we've seen on
it. Well, we also see dead children.
Oh, well, stuff.
There's a lot of dead children in this season.
Well, I mean, the whole neck slash thing, that's the one that got me the most. Because I was expecting worse after that, but really, it wasn't that grotesque.
The cool thing about it also is, like, because we had no freaking clue what to expect from this new season, it left the door open for a lot of possibilities. And one of those possibilities is, early on in the season, we were made aware of this Aku cult, this death cult that worships Aku.
The daughters of Aku.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't know anything about them. They literally... breed people to kill Samurai Jack. Along the way, we're left with this character who develops a certain dynamic with Samurai Jack, and that was an unexpected plot twist that not everybody was expecting, and not everybody knew how to handle it. Of course, the internet handled it super well, as it always does. But internet
outrage, the deuce you say?
Oh my God! But yeah, no, it was so great to have all these branching possibilities spring out.
We're also forgetting to talk about how it also still retains some of the same, like, comedy elements that were present in the old series, too. Like, just the kind of, like, jarring but also goofy aesthetics. Like, Aku, the great demon master of darkness, it only took me until watching this series to kind of realize he's kind of, in a sense, very much like the Joker or someone like Loki of, like, yeah, he is this menacing evil force. He can also be downright goofy too.
I'm evil. I rule the world. Also, I hamburgers. I was actually watching the first episode with a group of friends, and we were, like, all on our edge of our seats because we thought it was going to be, like, really epic. And we were just watching the whole thing. And then when Jack was just walking in, like, just this area, and then Scaramouche comes up.
Scaramouche, where do you let them... Dingo.
And we just see him just staying there. He's like, what's up, Jack? And then we just start bursting out laughing afterwards because, like, okay, there it is.
Yeah, the comedy of having a robot assassin that also speaks as a, like, what did you say, 1920s, like, jazz musician of, like, oh, yeah. Jackie boy, oh, it's so good to see you again.
Whip it out.
Kenny Tartakovsky kind of played it a lot like Game of Thrones, where you didn't know what the hell was going to happen from episode to episode, and, like, there are parts you love, and then there's parts you hate. But, like, I'd say about, like, almost halfway through the season, the tone starts to let up a little bit, and we get a little bit of fan service. We see a return to some very familiar characters, which we love to death. And it seems to kind of, like, pick up in terms of mood. It's not really punctuated too heavily by gore throughout, and that's what kind of surprised me. I thought the whole season would be consistently dark, but it actually kind of gets happy for a couple episodes, and then, you know, with the climax, things start to get a little more serious, but not quite as much as the first, like, three or four episodes.
We have a return of Phil LaMarr as Samurai Jack, which, according to him, this is his favorite role to do because he honestly doesn't have to speak that much, and when he does, it tends to be at least some entertaining dialogue to which he can spout, even if it's something as simple as, who else wants some?
Yep. Or, you've insulted my footwear or something.
Yeah. Initially, the voice of Aku was played by Makoto Iwasatsu, who many of you may remember. He was Uncle Iroh in the Avatar The Last Airbender series, who unfortunately passed away while they were in the midst of that series. So he was no longer available, of course, to play as Aku. So instead they have George Baldwin playing as Aku.
It was a little bit off at first. It grew on to me after a while. Like, it did sound just like him, because the new voice actor was also the new voice actor for Uncle Iroh, which was really, really nice, actually. Mm-hmm. And it grew on to me because he was really good at it.
It actually sounded pretty faithful. It sounded almost Italian to me. The voice actor for Uncle Iroh and the person who voiced Aku, they had both taken turns voicing both Aku and Uncle Iroh. So they apparently had a friendship with each other, and they basically chose the person who played Aku chose the person who played Iroh, or vice versa, to basically say, hey, whatever happens to me, you should take on this role. And it works out perfectly. Mm-hmm. And I also love that they, like you said, a lot of the same cast just returns to reprise their roles, especially John DiMaggio as the Scotsman. And yes. I mean, like, he's a fan favorite. Like, he's still, you know, his bombastic, clatery, buckle, sniveling, where am I, hitting black? Like, just the insane Scotsman that he is. It's always a delight to hear him. But yeah. Overall, Jack seems to talk a lot more in this season.
Yeah.
He has to explain things, you know, because they're moving at a rapid pace. But
plus, really, most of the time in the older series, he was more reacting as opposed to acting.
Explaining.
Yeah. He walks into a bar and there's bounty hunters, fish headed people, and robots, and he's just going to be quiet about it until one of them decides to insult him to his face and then drink his tea.
That's basically his day.
So let's move into final thoughts. And so, Nora, what were your take on it? Also, again, we are going to have a spoiler discussion about this, so we're giving our final thoughts before we get into it. So stick around if you want to hear more about that. If not, this is your warning to get ready.
Okay. Well, I honestly wish it had more episodes so it could, you know, expand more and have a better connection with, you know, Jack and Ashi, for example. And I honestly just want more to it, but that's just one thing that was wrong with it, in my opinion. I overall am so happy it's finally finished, and I am so happy. Everything was just so satisfying to watch, and 10-year-old me is super happy to see it too. Like, I'm just gonna, like,
gush about it a little
gush
bit.
Gush about
more.
It a little bit, because, God, I freaking love this show. So I'm probably just going to be, even as bad as it may be, I'm just going to, like, no, I don't agree. I freaking love this show so much. I wish that it was just a little bit longer, and that's all.
Yeah.
That's at least a good problem to have.
Yeah.
I'd say, as far as my final thoughts, I mean, like, I understand that it felt a bit rushed in certain parts.
Yeah, exactly.
But I understand why, because, I mean, they only have 10 episodes, so they got to get through a lot of stuff pretty fast. Mm-hmm. I will say, Gendy, I love Gendy, but I also freaking hate Gendy sometimes. he breaks our hearts, but he still gives us such wonderful things. I'd say they did a pretty good job finishing out the story. You know, they had a lot of interesting, side quests and stuff like that to kind of bring everything full circle. So he really did his absolute best to wrap up such a vast universe of Samurai Jack with the limited time that he had. And the ending threw me for a curveball.
Yeah,
but
there's a lot of opinions about that.
Yeah, and like I said, the internet always reacts to things super well.
Yeah.
But yeah, despite my own personal fan desires and headcanon and stuff, I'd say overall it was very successful, if a bit rushed. But I mean, like, again, it's
what can you do?
10-part series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would rate it 95 talking penises out of 100.
Also another in-joke, people. For me, this was very much a very satisfying conclusion to it. I did appreciate the much darker tone that it was approaching. And, well, not so much darker as more mature tone that it was taking, while also simultaneously having a joke of someone's head looking like a penis. Yes. Again, this happens, folks.
Very. I appreciate that.
And to echo what you said, very much the It did feel like it probably could have used a few more episodes, particularly near towards the end. I felt like the final episode, I was surprised at being just a 30-minute episode.
We need more.
Yeah.
We need more. Where's season 6, Kennedy?
Overall, very happy with it. I'm going to give this 9 tea ceremonies out of 10. All right. Now we are in the spoiler discussion, so this is your final warning in 3, 2, 1, Noah.
Why? Why does she have to be gone?
Why?
Why?
All right. If you folks don't know what they're talking about, one of the characters that was featured in this series was one of the 9 daughters of Aku, Ashi.
The last one to die.
She was so precious.
The episode beforehand, when Ashi turned into, I don't know, Aku, Satan, baby, whatever, she...
Very anime-ish, by the way, folks.
Very, like, it's a very fanfiction-y kind of way, too. Like, oh, you got Aku's powers. Oh, my God, yeah. And... Like, and yeah, I remember watching that episode, like, I swear to God, if anything happened to Ashi, I'm going to be so livid. And then when the final episode happened, when they went back in time with Ashi's new powers, right when he was having that epic battle with him, I was like, oh no. Oh no. And I was watching it with Fletcher, and he was like, what are you talking about? I was like, she's going to be gone. And right when they, and of course, they have to do the whole Gurren Lagann kind of ending and do it on their wedding day to make it even sadder. So,
God.
Yeah, and just be, and just yeah. Have her fall over, not even before saying, I do, making your heart hurt worse.
God, thank you for stabbing my heart, Gendy.
Again, just for a little bit more of context of what's going on, in the midst of the final battle, Ashi, who is a daughter of Aku, discovers she also has all of his same powers, one of which is the ability to transport objects through time, hence how Jack got into the future in the first place. So, as such, she herself and Jack go back to the very moment that Aku sent Jack into the future, when Aku was still, like, at his weakest state. It gave Jack the upper hand to finally put an end to Aku's reign. But in doing so, it did virtually now erase that timeline of the future, because if Aku doesn't exist in the future, Ashi doesn't get to exist in the past.
By the way, did we mention Ashi and Jack, like, kind of fell in love over the...
Yeah, totally not a mentor-student thing, like how everybody wanted, huh?
I mean, like, oh, God. And this is where all the opinions come from, because, I mean... Yeah, there's people who totally do the shipping thing between Jack and Ashi, and there's people who just want them to just kind of have a platonic kinship and stuff.
Yeah.
For me, I was kind of expecting the whole, like, mentor, student, or daughter, father kind of thing. It just seemed, I don't know, more appropriate for me, because in my mind, this is a girl who grew up from a freaking murder cult,
yeah.
And her only exposure to the outside world has literally been, like, the span of a few weeks, and the only true person she can trust is Jack. And, I don't know, like, when they kind of got pushed together and, like, things started advancing romantically, I felt, like, kind of a little skeezy, because, like, it's so easy to take advantage of an impressionable person like that. But, I mean, like... Whatever, it's a cartoon. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And I mean, like,
yeah.
I'm just, you know, like everybody suggests, just shut the hell up and let Jack be happy.
Pretty much. How many times has Jack fallen in love and it's just been taken away from him? All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of them, of course, were all Aku. And, of course, the third woman in his life is, of course, Aku. So...
Secretly, he wants to bone Aku.
Or maybe it's the opposite. I mean, Aku was very much upset when apparently Jack hadn't come after him to fight him for nearly 50 years. And Aku was just bored at this point. It's like, I don't care about killing the samurai anymore. You can just... Do what he wants. I don't care.
I don't care.
Like you said, Joe, Aku does kind of follow the archetype of, like, a kind of endearing villain similar to the Joker in that, like, these days, you can't even necessarily say he's pure evil. He's just, like, lazy and bored, and he even seems to be a little bit polite to certain people.
I mean, it's been, like, 1,000 years. I think after a while, you just get bored.
Yeah. You've conquered the world. You've gone through so many torture, enslavement camps and whatnot. You probably just, like, can't get excited about that anymore.
Nope.
Especially when your rival just decides to up and quit for so many years.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. But going back to the relationship, I did feel like it was a little bit rushed, but again, they only had the 10 episodes to span with, and I think by that point it was already like episode 6 or so.
Probably. If they hadn't gone quite so anime accident about it, it probably would have felt better.
Like, we're touching, we're touching hands.
We're pushed close together. I didn't mean.
And also, very subtle boner joke, apparently. Yeah. Like, oh, what's poking me? Oh, it's just my sword.
With the ending to it, like, not only of Ashi disappearing at the very end, I did kind of wish they could have spent a little bit more time of even Jack realizing how, like, not only is Ashi gone, but everyone in the future.
Yeah.
Like, that was my one, like, gripe, is that I wish they could have spent, like, a few moments of him, like, memorializing, like, everyone, because even though, like, the Scotsman is now technically erased from history, he should have still, like, had a presence in, like, his Jack's own history for it.
Yeah, it would have been actually pretty epic if, like, the gods just came down and were like, hey, we could bring back Ashi. Derp. I think someone actually made a fan ending of that.
Of course they did.
Yeah, and and that hurt even more because, like, that could have been real good.
Although there was also the fan ending where somehow Rick from Rick and Morty just pops in. It's like, hey, Jack, hey, got your girlfriend. Okay, bye-bye.
Rick would never do something that's selfless and kind-hearted.
I know, but that's why it's someone's fan fiction and not real, like, animated. It was just that little bit more I wish they could have had. Just, like, maybe 10 more minutes to, like, flush that ending out. Because it did feel slightly more abrupt in it.
When the scenes when they were, like, walking together, those were, like, their only, oh, yeah, we're getting closer kind of moments. And it kind of made me think, like, do they know romance? Do they know how to romance?
No, they don't.
No?
That was actually kind of the whole idea, because Jack is so innocent and Ashi's just so naive because, you know, she's brainwashed.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's what kind of it made their whole romance seem a little bumpy.
That's kind of what made it make more sense, too. Yeah. But at the same time, yeah, it was definitely rushed, but I grew attached to it over time because, I don't know, they were cute. So, and of course, I get too attached and then it's taken away.
Yeah. I don't know about you two, but I really did love the scenes when Jack was, like, having that inner monologue with himself earlier on in the series of, like, his guilt and his anxiety, like, tormenting him, like, telling him how he's a failure. Especially near towards the point when Ashi still is not trusting of Jack and how his inner self is just like, why don't you kill her? Just kill her! She's a burden! She's gonna kill you as well!
Like, Blue Jack is such a crazy pants.
He's such a dick. God. Yeah.
The scene of, like, Jack when he had been badly damaged in the earlier fights against, like, the daughters of Aku, and he's just holed up in that cave, and how, like, his other self is just, like, tormenting him so much. Like, we've never killed a human before. Wasn't it exciting?
I just want to point out, Gennady Tartakovsky borrowed an amazing moment from another great film by Ennio Morricone from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It was basically a recreation of the he used the mausoleum in that scene with the Daughters of Aku as kind of an homage to the song The Ecstasy of Gold, where they're, like, in the cemetery kind of looking around for this grave, and they used a similar song in that scene. And I was just like, oh my god, you ate The Good and the Bad and the Ugly. Gendy, you have great taste.
I don't understand why the episode where he was gone was so meh with everybody, though. That was honestly one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, when Jack was trying to find his center again, basically.
Yeah, everybody seems to not like that episode, but I thought it was pretty great.
Yeah, so. I think probably it's more the Deus Ex Machina of it, of how he lost his sword in the midst of a tragedy, and how Jack had been wandering for so long because now he didn't feel like he deserved to hold this sword as the only weapon to kill Aku, and all he had to do was meditate, find his center again, confront his, like, inner demon himself, and then was rewarded by the various gods that made the sword in the first place by returning it to him. So it did kind of feel like it just happened. I can understand that, but
that's fair.
But overall, like, it's no crazier than anything else that happens in the series itself.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, but one other thing we got to touch on, that final battle. Oh, man. That was some grade-A stuff right there.
Yeah.
It was extra thick.
Scotsman's entrance was the best out of everybody else's, and no one else could top that.
Celtic Magic Lad!
Ah!
And that was also, like, one of the things I enjoyed most about it was them actually touching on, like, the various people Jack had saved over the series.
Yeah.
And how they all, like, came together when Jack was at his weakest with Aku getting ready to execute him.
Yeah.
And, of course, like, it's the thing you expect, like, the cavalry comes in, but it's nearly everyone. The dogs he helped out in the first episode. The blind archers.
How the hell is everyone still alive?
Especially the dog.
Yeah.
Hey, dog years, of course.
But God. He's still 50.
Future robot science. Yeah.
But, yeah. No, I'm actually glad that they, like, brought it back. Like, they didn't just have him as, like, hey, here's those old characters again.
Yeah.
I'm glad they brought him back. Because, like, at first when they brought back Scotsman, I was just thinking, so is he coming back?
Yeah.
He should be coming back. And then they brought him back on the last episode. And, yeah, I'm actually pretty glad that everybody else came back. And, God, it was such a good battle.
Yeah.
And also the mecha scene. That one was my favorite.
They, like, Baku just gets punched in the face. I'm like, yes!
Like, finally!
Oh, we're also forgetting about the various joke about how the Scotsman had over 30 daughters now.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, goddamn, dude. Is that how you ended up in the wheelchair in the first place?
That was my joke, Joe.
I know. I'm sorry. I stole that from you.
Yeah, just like, I remember seeing that scene like, oh man, that's a lot of women. That'd be funny if those were his kids. Oh, they are.
Yeah. All, because I'm assuming they all had to at least be in the age range of 30, and the fact that there's 30 of them, it's like, goddamn, dude.
He should make a cologne called Celtic Magic.
That's like, if they're like all like 30 toplets or something, that's like topping the
insane
woman that, yeah, I would like top the woman who gave birth to 7 kids at the same time.
But then again, we gotta look at the Scotsman's wife, who was a pretty fan favorite episode for a lot of people.
Yep, that's true. She is a mighty woman, so I'm pretty sure it was no problem for her, unlike Ashi's mom.
Oh yeah. Oh, you have 9 children. Oh, what do you do for you? Why don't you come back to me when you have 30 of them?
I'm pretty sure she would say exactly that.
Yeah. Alright, so anything else you guys like to comment before we wrap it all up?
On paper, I think there's really no flaw with the ending of the series, but I think it's just a matter of pacing. I think, mm-hmm. like, we could have used another 5 episodes or something, and just, like, you know, draw it out a little bit more. Don't rush us through it. But, I mean, like, again, it's 10 episodes, but I'd say overall, it was good.
Yeah.
It sucked, but it was good.
It sucked because it made you sad.
Yes!
Yes!
The one thing I will say, and this is what we'll end it off on, I am so looking forward to when they release that box set of all 5 seasons of it, and I hope to God it's going to come in a case that's shaped like Aku's head.
Oh my God, yes. Imagine, like, if all of us have kids and we're just, like, showing them all the seasons, and they're like, I'm going to reach it all to season 5. Wait a minute, why is this all bloody? Like, someone actually pointed that out. I'm like, yeah, that's going to be really weird for someone who's going to be, like, binge-watching this.
Nah, if anything, I'm going to think about it more if we ever have grandchildren and go, oh. He's like, sit down, Shani, I'm going to show you the epic tale of Jack.
He's like, my favorite part was when they made an awkward kiss.